welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So, if your house is like mine, if you walked in the door right now, you would think that we were done with Christmas. It's over, finito, kaput, back in the box. We go by the old, you decorate the house the weekend after Thanksgiving, and you take things down the first weekend of the New Year's. I think that's in the King James Version, but probably not really. But the truth is, it's still Christmastide. It's today's 10, Lord's a-leaping. You can do the rest of the song on your own day. So we're still in those days between Christmas and Epiphany, so totally appropriate that we still have our Advent candles and Christmas tree, chrismons, and poinsettias, and the things of Christmas all around us. And truthfully, there's many people all across the world that recognize that this season is going, because for some cultures, they haven't even done their gift giving yet. They wait and do that on January 6th, which is Epiphany, which is the day that's traditionally celebrated as when the Magi came to meet Christ. So they brought gifts, so that's where gift giving happens. Oh, sure. We clump all of our characters together on the table. We put Mary in the middle and the shepherds on one side and the wise men on the other. And sometimes we modify that for 2020 and we make sure that all the characters are properly socially distanced. But there's a really good chance that the wise men didn't show up until later. Maybe more than a year later, which is why when Herod gives that order to try to stop whatever this line of King of the Jew is rising up, that he says all the babies 2 years and younger. And even from a non-biblical standpoint, a lot of the world is still waiting for January the 6th. So let's not be too hasty about moving on from this season and being done with the wise men. Here's their story from Scripture. This is Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where's the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for that is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Who says there's no sarcasm in Scripture? After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. These words have been given to you and I, so that we can not only learn what it meant then, but what it means to us now. Thanks be to God for words like this in Scripture. Let's pray. God, just reveal to us today what you want to reveal to us. Say to us and help us hear. Show us and help us see. Continue to be present with us and move us, Lord, in the ways that you would have us move. May all that we see, may all that we do, may it all be for your glory, now and forevermore. Amen. So what do we know about these magi? The truth is, we don't know a whole lot about them. Scripture says they're from the east. The predominant thought is they are like astrologers, stargazers. They were probably from like Persia or southern Arabia. And they may have been like an originally like a religious caste that was devoted to stargazing and the interpretation of dreams. Most people say they were probably Gentiles, non-Jews, and that this is part of all the nations coming to Jesus as the Magi came to him. But there's another actual intriguing theory in my regard, based on Philo, a first century Jewish philosopher and historian, that says that in that region, in Babylon, where Daniel went, that a group of followers, descendants, a school grew out of Daniel that was focused on interpreting dreams and astrology, and that since Daniel never came back, that maybe these magi were from that school, and maybe they were even Jewish. They came and worshiped. Now, we don't really know a lot about them, but what we do know is what they did. We know their actions. And we know that when the star appeared, they followed. Now, I've heard plenty of theories about the star, too. You may have heard some of them this year in the news as Jupiter and Saturn got close to each other, and they said that may have been what was going on. I've also heard Jupiter, the king planet, and Regulus, the king star, coming close together, that was what the star was that they saw. But something appeared in the sky that made them take notice. Something that was so brilliant, so compelling, that it caught their eye. That it sparked their excitement that something new was happening. That it was something that they had been searching for a long time. And it motivated this point, this light in the sky, motivated them to follow. Now, oftentimes we talk about light shining in the darkness as the light coming on and dispelling the darkness. Like if you lit a candle or a flashlight on a campout, or you turn on the light switch in a dark room. But light also has an attractive quality. Ask any moth who could tell you. Ask a ship that's coming into a tough harbor that's waiting for the lighthouse beacon to come on. The light also has a quality, and I think if the star could speak, that the words that the star would be saying to the wise men are, come, follow me. Come follow me and see what I want to show you. Now, it's right there where the story really connected with me this year. In so many ways, my faith journey over the last few years has continued to be a looking and a listening and a searching and watching for the way that God is moving and trying to obey that sign, that revelation, that invitation to follow as best I could. In recent days and years and months, my wife and I have become convinced that we can step into and help in this whole crisis that we found about, this crisis of children who are aging out of foster care without ever being adopted. This crisis that often leads young adults very vulnerable at the age of 18 to homelessness and incarceration. And as we've heard about those staggering statistics, we've thought and prayed, what can we do? So recently we've seen a star rise. And recently we've made plans to pursue that. Now, some around us have offered us great words of encouragement. But others just think we're crazy. In case you don't know or if you've never heard, I have 8 children. I'm proud of that. Three of them don't live at home, so we only have five, which I say kind of jokingly, because most people would go, oh, five still. But they're just voices that look at our family situation, and they hear, you want to do what? You want to bring another child in your home? Don't you have enough of them? Aren't your hands full enough? Isn't there some way that you could harm your children or harm that child? Or what are you thinking? And because that's going on in my life, like real time, like right now, it made me think about those wise men right at that point of the story when they were going to follow the star. Because I'll tell you what, unless they were all single and had no friends or family around, they had some interesting conversations that were about to happen. Some people were going to be affirming, and some people were not. I can just hear some of the voices around them saying, you're doing what? You're going to follow what? You're a fool. You're going to take how much gold? I can just hear one of the wise men's mamas saying, now I was okay with this when it was a hobby, but this is going too far. I think you're making a huge mistake. You're following a star? I mean, if you've never heard any of those words, do something crazy for the Lord. You'll hear some of those words. It was staggering to me when I started seminary how many people going into the ministry were getting a divorce because their spouses were saying, I didn't marry a preacher. Do something crazy for the Lord. You'll start hearing the voices.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
I'm a big fan of the Chosen series. And there's a scene where Nicodemus the Pharisee, the one we meet in John 3, that has the conversation with those famous words of John 3:16. And in the Chosen series, we've grown to know him, and he's met Jesus. He's convinced Jesus the Messiah. Jesus has looked him in the eye and said, come follow me, join my group. And he's right on that edge of wanting to go and wanting to take that step of faith and go and follow and listen to that invitation to go. But his wife comes to him and says, I like my life the way it is. She doesn't use these exact words, but what she's saying to him is, don't mess it up. Don't do something stupid. Take me back where I'm comfortable and happy. Have you ever been there? Have you ever known beyond certainty that the Lord was calling you to follow him? Did you go? Did you want to go, but the voices around you just talked you out of it? Did you look at what it was going to cost you to walk away from what you were going to have to walk away from and just decided that that was too large a cost to pay? Would you go right now? Would you put down your nets and follow him? Would you take a chance? Would you mentor a student? Would you follow a star? Even if some of the voices around you were calling you a fool for doing so? We don't know how many wise men there were. It was during medieval times that they created that legend of the three kings. But to follow a star, to follow a call, you got to have some people around you that are sold out or more than you are. I think there's a reason it's not one wise guy, but there's wise men. Because you got to have people around you that are just as obedient, that are just as determined, that are just as willing to look at that star and that call and willing to risk it all for the Lord. You need to have the right people around you to truly find this thing called abundant life, this mortal life that Jesus offers to us. So what are some of the things that these magi discover as they set out with their mortal life group? One thing they find is new knowledge, and they find insight. The magi find that as you follow the Lord in faith, you use your brain alongside your heart. I can't tell you how many people say to me, you know, religion's just a crutch for the weak, or if you're going to follow in faith, it's all about heart. You got to kind of just check out your brain. That is so inconsistent with what we know. Two of my favorite verses in the Bible are Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Do you see the magi in that? I do. But look, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yes, our hearts are engaged, but God wants us to use our mind and our reason to follow after him. And when they were using their brains, when they were trying to follow him with their best understanding, when they were going to try to find the king of the Jews, as it says in Matthew 2:2, where it says that the wise men were... when they said, "Where's the one who's been born king of the Jews?" they asked Herod. "We saw his star when it rose. We've come to worship him." Where would you go if you're looking for the king of the Jews? To Jerusalem. That's where the king should be. They're using their mind. And what they're rewarded with in this searching, in this finding, in this discovering, is deeper knowledge. Because what the answer they receive from that in verses 4 through 6 give them greater insight into their mission, to their quest, and their following. When Herod called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for that's what the prophet Micah has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." They got greater knowledge and understanding about who it was they were going to find. The next thing they found in this journey was joy. It couldn't have been a simple journey. It couldn't have been just easy. But this calling, this following a star, that led them to joy. We see again in verses 9 and 10 there in Matthew 2. After they'd heard the king, the magi went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I don't think when they saw the star again, they went, "Oh, whew, what a relief." When the star came back into the scene, it was like hearing the call, "Come on, keep following me." It was a re-engagement with the invitation and the call. It was affirmation they were still going the right way. And when they saw the star stop over the place right where the child was, I bet they'd never seen a star stop before. And I bet some part of them knew that they were nearing their destination. They weren't just overjoyed to meet Jesus. They were overjoyed by the call. They were overjoyed by the journey. They were overjoyed by the life that they were living and the star that they were following. And then what they found, as they engaged and found the Christ child in Mary, they found him and they responded in worship. I love how Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, lifts this up. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The dawning of the light of Christ is attractive. People will come from afar and praise your name. I imagine that in that moment, the wise men were overwhelmed with a deep love and respect. They had brought their whole heart and their whole soul, their whole mind, their whole strength, and they laid it there at the feet of the Christ child. I bet they didn't want to leave. On Christmas Eve, our family had a moment like this. It was a beautiful moment of worship. We were in the midst of a conversation, and we brought our Advent candles into the room, and we were talking about how these words of hope and peace and joy and love can really make a difference in our lives. We probably talked 30, 45 minutes. And there was a feeling when it was all done that I just didn't want to leave that place. I didn't want to blow out the candles. I just wanted to stay there in the presence of God. I bet that's kind of how the Magi felt in that moment. Magi discovered true worship, spirit and truth. And I bet all along the way that they learned what it meant to sacrifice. I bet all along the way they learned what selfless love was. But in the moment when they presented their gold and frankincense and myrrh, I bet they discovered the joy of such abundant, reckless giving and generosity with no desire for anything in return. I bet that they found something beautiful in that moment as they laid that fortune at the feet of Jesus. And the radiant satisfaction of truly giving of yourself. And the last thing that I'll lift up that I think they found the next step. After they'd followed and traveled and worshiped and found joy and love and generosity, God told them in a dream that Herod was to be avoided. Now, I don't know about you, but for a long time I've lived by what I call a flashlight faith. I think sometimes when we desire a plan for our future from the Lord, we want the map and the total itinerary of where we're going to be led for the rest of our lives. But I believe that our faith walk is a lot more like getting a flashlight. A flashlight that just shows you the next step. And if we don't turn our flashlight off, but if we leave it on and we take that next step that God is revealing to us, that he then reveals the next step for us to take. I think by the wise men taking the step to follow the star, when they were done with that step, God showed them the next step. And he'll show them the next step. So what about us? Are we asking and seeking and knocking and watching and listening and praying for God's Holy Spirit to guide our next steps? As Ryan comes back up to lead us in the rest of our worship, have you and I, have we seen our star? Have we heard our call? Do you know that you've got your flashlight already? Are we moving or are we hesitating? Are we following or are we denying? Are we seeking new knowledge and great joy? Are we worshiping and giving and loving freely and fervently? Are we finding more to life? Are we hearing and knowing that next step? Because no circumstances, no pandemic, no bad decision from our past can keep the star from appearing, can keep the invitation from coming. The question is, when you and I hear and see and it's revealed to us, will we take one another by the hand? when we encourage and affirm one another, and when we find ways to serve and to love and to step more fully and faithfully into the life that God has created and crafted for us. Will we? Can we do that together? I believe the star is waiting. I believe our Savior is calling. And my prayer is that together we will follow Him for His glory.